Mighty Vandals to Tubbs the Club, your University of Idaho, Philly, down the Big Sky Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brian Marceau, joined today by Trevin Pixley, man. Look, Trevin, we're going to throw it to you in a second, but I got to give you a preface. You're the Tubbs MVP tonight, man. You're like me. You went to the game. You had to drive back to Lewiston, so your drive was a little bit longer than my haul back to Coeur d'Alene. You, of course, had to write your piece, which has already, you've already submitted. It's going to be in the paper, the physical paper, Sunday morning, but it'll be online too, guys, lmtribune.com, I'm pretty sure. But you've had a full day. It's 10:16 p.m. Pacific time for us. That's the first time we can make it. You just landed back in Lewiston like 2 minutes ago, man. So how's it going, dude?
It's going good. You know, that was my, you know, first true away game covering the Vandals, and it was fun to go to Cheney and get to see the red turf in person for the first time. I will say TV does not do the red turf justice. I think it's awesome in person. On TV, it is not as good.
Okay, well, you, me, and Dallas now are three people. All three of us are on the unpopular opinion of no, like, hey, Eastern did the right thing with the red turf. Mm-hmm. Like see in person, no, like, yeah, I get it. Eastern has half of a stadium, which was about 95-ish% capacity today, 8,300 change in an 8,700-person stadium, which is, say, energy was great. But, yeah, you, me, and Hammer, we're all on the same train that the Inferno was, and will continue to be the right call for Eastern. But we're done just talking about the field, dude. We have a game that we got to talk about. So this is Tubbs of the Club, brought to you guys by Snake River Stampede, Canadian Whiskey, and the game we're talking about. Idaho picks up win number four of the 2023 season. Good win number three of the 2023 season, padding that playoff resume with a 44-36 win over Eastern Washington for Idaho's first win ever on the red turf, a.k.a. the Inferno, a.k.a. Roos Field. And quick rundown of the game. Idaho receives first kickoff, marches down for a Anthony Woods 2-yard touchdown run in just under 3 minutes. And I got to say, it was a 5-play, 75-yard drive. At that point, look, I'm sitting in the end zone. You could just feel Vandals felt like, okay, well, we're going to win 72-3.
Yeah, that's like that quick. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not what happened. Look, after that quick touchdown, Eastern responds with a touchdown of their own, 20 on a trick play, 29-yard touchdown pass from Michael Wortham to Anthony Stell, 7-7. Then Eastern forces an Idaho punt and then scores early in the second quarter. The Justice Jackson 34-yard pass from third stringer Jared Taylor. By the way, should have brought that up earlier. Kiko Vesperis, starting quarterback for Eastern Washington, did not play, so the Eastern game plan was radically changed. Jared Taylor, technically number three quarterback, was obviously their starting quarterback. Michael Wortham had the same kind of weird Zach Borish-ish kind of role that he always has. But anyway, Eastern pulls up, gets ahead 14-7 on that Justice Jackson pass from Jared Taylor. Idaho strikes back, an 11-yard touchdown pass from Javonte McCoy to Alex Moore, makes it 14-14. Although, man, it was really back and forth. This was not a defensive battle by any means. So between then and the end of the first half, Eastern picks up a 35-yard touchdown run by that technically number two quarterback, Michael Wortham. They're up 21-14. Idaho picks up a touchdown with 33 seconds left in the second half, a 17-yard touchdown run by Anthony Woods. You're going to hear that name in touchdowns quite a few times, guys. So then, hey, Idaho, it's tie game. Again, from the Vandal perspective, on the ground, feeling like, hey, Idaho didn't have their greatest half in the world. It's tie game, whatever. Idaho's going to walk away with it. Eastern scores first touchdown of the second half with an Idaho, like, 6-minute and 13-second drive, punctuated by a 4-yard touchdown run from quarterback Jared Taylor. From then on, Idaho starts really putting it together and pouring it on. So Idaho evens it up 28-28 on a 4-yard Anthony Woods touchdown run. Then Ricardo Chavez later gets a 38-yard field goal. Idaho's up 31-28. Anthony Woods rushes for a 7-yard touchdown. Chavez misses the extra points, 37-28. Idaho's final score came on Anthony Woods' 60-yard touchdown run. By the way, if you're keeping track, Anthony Woods, 5 rushing touchdowns, obvious player of the game. Eastern does get one touchdown and an extra point to make things kind of interesting at the end. But hey, Idaho takes over with 6 minutes, 37 seconds left for their next drive, and Eastern does not see the field again. So final score, 44-36 for Idaho. They did get some breathing room, so it wasn't quite as much drama after, you know, at the end of the game as there was, you know, heading into halftime. But with that background, Trevin, what went well for Idaho?
Yeah, I think the first thing that sticks out to me is this is how great football teams win games, right? You know, you get into tie ball games, you get down by one possession, and you have some big momentum plays that go your way and you capitalize on it. I mean, you look at that Anthony Woods 7-yard touchdown run. I believe that was the score that was brought on by the Jermaine Jackson 84-yard kickoff return touchdown. So, you know, a big –
84-yard kickoff, nearly touchdown.
Oh yeah, not a touchdown. Sorry, it's been a long day. It's been a long day, guys. But yeah, 84-yard kickoff return, and then also a fourth down stop led to the field goal that gave Idaho the lead, their first lead since the opening drive touchdown. So just I really like to see how Idaho is capitalizing on this momentum and being able to run with it on offense.
Yeah, to go a little more narrow, one of the things that quite obviously went well for Idaho is this is kind of a 2-for-1 in the run game. Offensive line was fantastic against Eastern in giving both Anthony Woods and Nick Romano room to run. And those two kicked ass. Look, Idaho rushed 49 times on the game to 18 passing attempts. It took a little bit of time for Idaho to figure out that for sure the formula to winning this game was to just run it down Eastern's throat. But look, Anthony Woods, 24 rushes for 183 net yards. He gained a total of 213. He lost quite a lot on a fumble recovery that was not hit. That wasn't an Anthony Woods issue. He recovered the fumble on. But so for all intents and purposes, Anthony Woods gains 213 yards on 24 rushes with 5 touchdowns. Then Nick Romano, 18 rushes for 132 yards gained, 129 net, no touchdowns. Jermaine Jackson, also, he had a 31-yard rush, while Giovanni McCoy, I think he took 1 sack and overall rushed 4 times for 22 yards. So you're looking at that on the game. That's Idaho rushing 49 times for 398 gained yards, 363 net yards, 7.4 yards per carry for Idaho on the ground. This felt like the kind of game Jason Eck absolutely loves once he completely figured out that this – and Schleissner too. Once they completely had the run game dialed in as option A, B, and C, which that didn't happen instantaneously. But this was, on the ground, pretty damn good showing from the offensive line. And then, look, Anthony Woods always breaks tackles. He is always electric. He's not Big Sky Player of the Week with – 5 touchdowns plus 213 gained rushing yards, then the award is meaningless. But Nick Romano kicking ass too, man. So that's one thing that went well offensively for sure.
I was going to say too, I think Anthony Woods right now, and you know, we're 5 games into the season, right? There's still like a lot of football to be played, but he's playing at an All-American level. Like he is looking really, really good. Like I am super impressed by his play. And I want to say publicly too, to On Tubbs at the Club, I was one of the more vocal critics, again, long night, guys, on Idaho's offensive line. These last 2 weeks, they have kicked ass in the run game, like Brian said, and it's been awesome to see. And you look at all these FCS powerhouses, all of them run the ball. Like, you know, they get these 200-yard games, 300-yard games. They're very physical at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, Idaho is that now. And it's they are looking like a top 3 team offensively.
Yeah, Anthony Woods now with 3 games rushing over 100 yards. Week 1 at Lamar, last week hosting Sac State, and now this week at Eastern Washington. The 9 rushing touchdowns on the year, too. Obliterating last year's rushing total. Hey, role was different last year too, but no, you're when you reference Anthony Woods All-American, Yeah, he's averaging around, when you factor in, you know, how far over 100 yards he's been a couple of games, he's averaging right around 100 yards per game on the season. That counts the Cal game too. So no, absolutely incredible effort from Anthony Woods.
And also, one more thing too. I also really was a fan of how Coach Slice called this game too. Like, you know, they look like trick plays, but they're almost just like in Idaho's playbook. Like I think Jermaine Jackson's 31 yard gain was the one where I think three people had the ball in their hand at one point. I love seeing that, and it's just routine in Idaho's playbook, and they make it look so easy. And I think he called an excellent game today. And I want to give him props for that.
Yeah, look, 44 points is a kick-ass total. And like C. Hansen says in the comment section, I'm quoting C. Hansen right now for listeners, we could have easily scored on that last drive as well. We were killing it on the ground. Yeah, Eck did not attempt to punch in a final touchdown when Idaho had the game under wraps. So, look, finished with 44 points, easily could have broken 50 had Idaho wanted to. But we need to talk defensively what went well too. Like, again, now this was a weird game defensively because Eastern went hardcore run heavy as well. I mean, this was both teams, the focus was on the ground. As with Kiko Vesperis not playing, it was a little confusing as a fan, and I know the coaches had to adjust their scheme as well, because Jared Taylor, he was the guy who started under center. They had him throw some passes, but
wasn't impressive.
No. There's a reason the dude's the third stringer. But between Taylor and Wortham, and also Eastern has some solid running backs. They have a pretty strong offensive line as well. Like, look, Eastern looks like a fringe playoff caliber team. So it's not like Idaho was, you know, this wasn't Cal Poly next week or something like that. But the defensive game was weird because you could just tell watching it took Idaho a while to really get a handle. On what Eastern was trying to do, which is why it took so long for Idaho to look. Idaho forced a three and out on, I think, Eastern's first possession. Yeah. And then Eastern didn't have three and out or punt until well into the second half after that. So with that as the backdrop, Trevin, what went well defensively for Idaho?
You know, they won the game, you know, they held them. You know, when they ended up getting the momentum on offense, you know, they managed to not allow them to score. And, you know, they got that fourth down stop, which was big. But, yeah, we kind of talked a little bit before the podcast started, you know, about, you know, who kind of stood out defensively. And, you know, I kind of was struggling a little bit to kind of find a name there. But, you know, and we could say pass defense stood out, but like we kind of already mentioned, Jared Taylor kind of didn't impress me that much as a passer. So, you know, it's hard for me to point out one specific thing because they also didn't really tackle that well either. So, you know, it's tough for me, Brian. It's tough.
So, look, we'll get more into what you just referenced, but just as far as – and Trevin, everyone forgive Trevin because, hey, he isn't – always on the post game episodes. If we can't go that long, what went well, we just won't go that long on it and then hit the other side. But I do want to talk about the passing game stats. Cause look, you're right that obviously a third string quarterback for Eastern wasn't fantastic, but look, between Jared Taylor and Michael Wortham, Eastern was 13 of 28 through the air for 126 yards. They did throw two touchdowns. The two touchdowns came one on a trick play where Wortham threw the touchdown pass. And then the other came on, it was really a screen pass Jared Taylor threw, that it just took place at the same time Idaho's blitzing went the exact opposite end. And anyway, it was like the perfectly called play. I mean, that's just what happens. Yeah. But between those two plays, man, that accounted for around 50-ish% of Eastern Washington's total passing yards. Yeah. So, like, minus those two plays, Eastern Washington through the air was about 11 of 26 for like 60 yards.
Yeah.
So, no, you're right. The quarterback sucked, but Idaho also wasn't given any space.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Successful. You know. Yeah. Other things that went well is I'm just going to say eventual defensive adjustments. It took a while to get there, and we'll hit the part you referenced in a second. But once Idaho adjusted their defense, had more of a spy going on to contain Jared Taylor. I feel that, and by the way, that wasn't until into the second half, guys. That's when Idaho took over, and it was a combination of Idaho was scoring the whole time. So, but defensively, you could tell it was in the late third quarter. There were there's back-to-back series that Idaho forced punts, or no, there's turnover on downs and then a three and out. And that was to me, the moment you could tell Eastern's OC believed that Idaho had figured out the run game enough and that was after the fourth down stop. Next possession, Eastern looked like they felt Idaho had figured out the run game enough. They had to pass. And then like Eastern just couldn't pass. It was both Idaho defensively was good against the pass and Eastern just didn't have what they needed to. So, hey, we'll get to the other side of that equation like you talked about in a second. But before we do the ad read though, I do want to give you a moment to talk to. It was pretty obvious that from a coaching standpoint, this would have been a difficult game to coach defensively because Eastern clearly was not doing what Idaho had prepped the entire week for. This was honestly analogous to, if you guys remember back in the spring season when Zach Borish started at quarterback for Idaho against Eastern, but it was, you know, a well-kept secret heading into that game that Borish was going to be the starter. That game back in the spring, Eastern was not prepped to adjust to run heavy offense. Idaho had their own version of that where they had to completely adjust what they were going, not only what their expectations were, but then what they were going to have the personnel do. Eventually the coaching staff and the players figured it out, but there was a lot in between the figuring it out. I think we're going to hit in the next section, Trevin, but hey, Snake River Stampede Canadian Whiskey show sponsor. Look, you can't go wrong. Whether you get the Snake River Stampede for $25.95, that's double barrel finished in first fill bourbons and Oloroso sherry casks. Or if you decide, hey, I really want to celebrate this win with something a little bit nicer, go with the Snake River 1915. It's aged an extra 2 years. It's finishing as first fill bourbon, then ex-Canadian whiskey cask. No matter what you pick, both of them are two of the best buys that you have in Idaho State liquor stores. I buy Snake River Stampede by the handle exclusively at $49.95 for the handle. But if you haven't given Snake River Stampede a shot, do it this football season. Trevin, what did not go so well today?
Well, I always backtrack before I get to the right track. You know, that's how we get on the right track. I do want to say
I'm really happy you brought that up too, because it's both late. And if you're going to be on, we got to have the right track jokes going.
That is
your brand on the Tubbs brand.
Exactly.
So thank you for bringing that. You're the MVP because you're able to come on and you just doubled down on being the MVP for bringing up the right track.
Yeah. So backtracking to get on the right track here tonight. I do want to say you were 100% right. I think Rob Arich did a good job figuring out what the defense needed to do to game plan for Taylor later in the game. And that's why you saw it work out. And it did happen a little later than, you know, maybe it should have, but he did do a good job nonetheless. And I think it kind of started on that fourth down stop. As far as things that didn't work out so well, tackling. I think tackling was the biggest thing. You know, it was one of those things that whether it was at the point of attack or, you know, in open space, it was kind of hard to watch, you know, Eastern Washington run through that many tackles. And this is normally, at least in my opinion, Jason Eck kind of has a different opinion on his guys, at least in the last couple weeks, a pretty normally good tackling Idaho team. And I think tackling is the first thing that stands out to me.
Yeah. Well, and the tackling itself you're bringing up is we just have to talk about the fact that Eastern Washington for around three quarters of this game, they ran fine against Idaho.
Yeah.
So look, Eastern's play split. They did end up throwing 28 passes. Part of that was also had to do with the game flow later in the game when Eastern was behind by, you know, 16 points late. But Eastern rushes 42 times for 241 gained yards, 226 net yards, and three touchdowns. That's to the tune of 5.4 yards per rush. But want to asterisk that as well. The longest rush Eastern had was 35 yards by Michael Wortham, which is to say getting to that 5.4 yards per rush was not buttressed on like three or four gigantic plays. Eastern steadily ran the ball pretty dang well. And one of the weird things about this game, just because of the strategy for Eastern didn't track what is typical, it felt as a fan initially, it felt good that Idaho was able to force third down and fourth down like as frequently as they did. Like Eastern Washington got to third down 16 times, yeah. Went for it on fourth down 5. But look, Eastern converted 8 of their 16 third down conversions, 4 of their 5 fourth down conversions. And the one time Eastern didn't get it going for it on fourth down, that was super late in the game. So for a lot of this game, Eastern was 100% able to do what they wanted to on the ground. And that did change about it changed about halfway through the third quarter. But for 2.5 quarters, Vandal fans were getting pretty anxious. I got to tell you, like in the first half, and maybe some of what we attribute this to, Trevin, is the radically different game plan. And look, I'm not trying to give the wrong excuse. Look, I have C. Hansen's comment up on the screen of, never mind. Sorry, dude. We have amateur hour. But C. Hansen brought up that the excuse Bobby Hauck used there. I finally got it. God damn it.
There we go.
There it is. This is the excuse Bobby Hauck used for losing to NAU, having a different quarterback. Look, Chris, you're right, but this wasn't a Bobby Hauck situation. Where in the press conferences for that NAU game, Bobby Hauck, one said they weren't prepped for the quarterback, but then two said they ran the exact same offense. So what was there to be prepped for? No, dude, this was radically different. Eastern does not rush this heavily compared to how much they pass. But Idaho looked flat defensively in the first half for sure on the ground. And like you said, just tackling was Idaho did not tackle this game as well as they have virtually the entire season. Now, some of that is Eastern does have a good offensive line. The running backs are strong. And hey, credit to the Eastern dudes who, like I said, I think this is a fringe playoff team. Jared Taylor came to play. The quarterback rushed 22 times for 121 yards and 2 touchdowns. Michael Wortham came to play. 5 rushes for 54 yards and a touchdown. Tuna Altahir, who we'd said had not looked as impressive as Justice Jackson throughout the season. Altahir, 10 rushes, 48 yards. Those guys broke some tackles to get to that yardage. You know, credit to Eastern for working with the tools they had. This was a game that at halftime, at 21-21, I was anxious as hell about Idaho pulling this one out. And especially when Eastern starts the second half with a touchdown on their first drive, a 7-minute kind of Jason Eck-esque drive. A lot of Vandal fans were pretty anxious. I mean, the team answered the bell from there. But as far as things not going well, like you're going to have to expect Rob Orich is not going to use this game tape as what he wants, as what he'd call like an apex effort, both in terms of like executing scheme and just physicality overall.
Yeah. And, you know, staying on the trend of things that kind of stuck out to me that, you know, didn't go so well, offensively at least, you know, Javonte McCoy didn't have to play well today, right? He didn't have to, you know, with how well they ran the ball, you know, and that's another key of being a great team. You know, if your quarterback can go 8 of 18, an interception, throw for 128 yards, and you can still win the game by as much as Idaho did, that's a good sign. You know, but uncharacteristically off tonight, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, McCoy. Well, I think like this is the other part I'm going to bring up. It connects with McCoy. Is as good as the offensive line was in the run game, I didn't feel great about the offensive line in the pass game. McCoy was under duress a bit. We've seen him game in and game out still make something out of nothing a ton to win games for Idaho while under duress. Yeah, this was certainly not McCoy's best game. 8 of 18. So look, McCoy is he typically leads the Big Sky in completion percentage. He's an extremely accurate passer, even on the move. So fact that he went 8 for 18 in this game, I'm fine calling this an anomaly. And I bet Javonte McCoy, if you were on the show, would say, yeah, this was not my best game. Also, he went 8 of 18 for 128 yards. Did throw a nice 11-yard touchdown pass to Alex Moore, and just because Alex Moore, you know, he blew his ACL out last year, caught his second touchdown. Good to see that Moore is getting back to the point that he can be an end zone type of target. He's a young dude who has a bright future, just needs to stay healthy and keep developing from this point. But McCoy threw a very bad for him pick. The pick McCoy threw was it was right to the Eastern defender.
I was surprised, like shocked, like that McCoy threw that kind of pass. Like I need to watch that play back, and I probably won't get the view that I had in the press box. But so whoever was on the outside on that play, it was either Therese or Jermaine. I know that's a major size difference, but it was one or the other. It was on the outside, and they were streaking wide open. And that's a throw like McCoy sees and hits like almost 100% of the time. And for him to like force the throw to Hayden Hatton in the middle of the field just was so weird for him. Like it was weird.
Yeah, like got Taylor Cash in the comment section saying Eastern has a sneaky good secondary.
They do.
Yeah, they do. I mean, we talked about in the preview show, the relative strength of Eastern defensively was a secondary. So, hey, if we played this game 10 times, McCoy's not going to be sub 50%. And like, had he executed that pass the way that I would expected McCoy to throw, that would have been a pretty damn big gain, if not a touchdown. But whatever, McCoy gets to have an off day. People have off days. And Idaho's
and he threw a laser to Jermaine Jackson on that pass that I thought was definitely an incompletion that they reviewed forever.
Yeah, you're talking about the one, it was on the sideline. See, I thought that was a completion because what it looked like is he caught, foot hit the ground out of bounds, which is dead ball, and then defender knocked the ball out. But the ball would have been dead at that point.
Yeah, it just looked like, for me, that he didn't complete like the process of the catch, but then you know it's like, what is a catch anymore? You know, but yeah, great ball placement, great catch.
I am fine. Like in the Tubbs in the hashtag only Tubbs Discord, little discussion about that call being bailed out in Idaho's direction. I thought that was fine. Like it looked like a bang bang type of play, but if you catch the ball and your foot hits out of bounds, the ball's dead. So it doesn't matter if you hold on to it from that point. I mean,
and he had one more pass too.
Yeah,
that was out of bounds. That Hayden Hatton was out of bounds, but it was like right in between two defenders, right in his right to Hayden. He was right out of bounds. That was a good throw too.
Well, yeah, are you talking about the like third and 20 completion? Yeah,
third and like 15 or something like that. It was like I don't remember what quarter it was in, but it was a great throw.
He hit the receivers real quick. Jermaine Jackson, 3 catches, 43 yards. Hayden Hatton, 3 catches, 41 yards. Therese Traynor, 1 catch, 33 yards. Alex Moore, 1 catch for 11 yards. That was the receiving touchdown. So, hey, we hit offensively the part that did not go as well. But, like, hey, defensively, what did not go as well?
Well, I think tackling and then going up against the run, obviously. But something that Idaho struggles just in general with, and I think they did a good job against Sac State, was, you know, against rushing quarterbacks. And they didn't know, you know, coming into this game who they were going to be game planning against. And then when they kind of were able to focus in on it and, you know, attack them, they did a better job. But, you know, still with these design runs, he was picking up 3-4 yards a carry. And, you know, I think that's just something, you know, Idaho has to continue to work on and get better at. Because even, you know, even though they had one good game against a quarterback that has that mobile ability, you know, they got to continue to stay up on that, in my opinion.
Yeah, in the comment section, Martin would say tackling did not go as well. Rob Lowney says Bobby Hauk is the Nick Saban of FCS regarding his temper, which has nothing to do with Idaho, but whatever. Nate Mink, Eastern's number 13. That's Michael Wortham, is a sneaky, awesome player. Patty Furks, yeah, and it drives me. He's just not used anymore. Patty talking about Michael Wortham. Eric Stang, Idaho did a good job of making adjustments from quarter to quarter, which is a credit to Ek and staff. Teams that make deep runs are able to do this in tough games and especially in tough road games. Okay, Eric, I think that's the point maybe that we should hang our hats on here, which is, I think it's fair. Again, this was not the best, especially defensively, this was not the best Idaho effort. But hey, keep in mind, Eastern's a fringe playoff level team. This is not a bad football team at all. It was on the road. And this was, especially on the defensive side, a game where the week's worth of prep was just not what they used when they hit the field, and Idaho still adjusted.
Well, and that's what I'm saying, too. I was hitting on earlier at the beginning of the show, like, this is what great teams do, right? You don't necessarily put your best product on the field, but you still find a way to win, right? You know, I compared it at the beginning of the year to my Jags, right? We're supposed to be great on paper, but we don't put our best product out on the field and we still lose. So we're not great. But Idaho right now is showing that they have potential to be great. So and be like Idaho, don't be like the Jags.
Well, we just have to accept this was obviously the ultimate trap game because Idaho has Cal Poly this week.
Yeah.
But want to hit a couple more in the comment section. Look, C. Hansen says most teams struggle against running QBs. It provides an extra blocker. Yes. Yeah, absolutely right. Look, that's part of why these offenses can work. Trevin was, I believe you were differentiating between quarterbacks who can pass, who happen to run, versus quarterbacks who purposely are running a ton. So I think from this point on, look, hey, we know Montana is obviously going to go with the run heavy scheme against Idaho at the quarterback because they can't score otherwise. But point taken, C. Hansen. I understand this game differently because, like, if this is Kiko Vesperis, the game planning from last week in Sac State is much more applicable to what we would be seeing, where it's a guy who can throw, but he also can run too. And I guarantee that's what Idaho was more prepping towards. And that to me, that explains why it just took a little bit of time to confirm this is exactly what Eastern's trying to do. Because no one had any tape on Jared Taylor. Like, it took, he didn't, you're correct, he didn't look like a great pocket passer. But simultaneously, like, it's a big deal to say that you are committing to stopping a run heavy team when you're going against Eastern Washington, who has probably the second best receivers in the league. Yeah. So it's that to me explains why we took a little bit of time. I also do want to bring up just a separate thing that I think it happened because of how Idaho was struggling with the run, but like, it's the thing that I'm happy about. Jackson Eck and X-Ree Alexander got a lot of run. Jackson Eck started middle linebacker second half in relief of Trey Thomas. And, man, Jackson Eck looks the part.
He's a dog.
Yeah, Jackson Eck and X-Ree, God, please have those dudes stay here because they're, as true freshmen, contributing against Eastern's a playoff-level team. Yeah, if those guys stick around for a while, man, Idaho at linebacker is going to be pretty damn good. We got to get to players of the game in a second. Before we get to players of the game, Hughes River Expedition has been sponsoring Tubbs the Club since essentially the dawn of time. And look, Hughes River Expedition, here's what's important, guys. If you are interested in any sort of river expedition, if you want to see the rapids, you want to go down the Middle Fork of the Salmon, the main Salmon River of No Return, the Salmon River canyons of Selway. If you want to go on a rafting trip, that's like a larger group corporate retreat, or it's just you and your family. You want to have the kind of trip you'll be talking about for the rest of your life, going down some rapids, get a hold of Colin, call Hughes River Expedition. That's 800-262-1882, or check them out at HughesRiver.com. Their trips are all inclusive. So truly, you schedule and show up. They take care of everything else. So as far as having outdoor experience in the Pacific Northwest, hitting the rapids, you cannot do better than Hughes River Expedition. Give Colin a call. Offensive player of the game. This is the easiest discussion in the world, Trevin.
Yeah. Why? You know, I haven't watched most of your post-game tub shows. I don't know if you guys have a rule. In our Tribune post-game shows, we have a rule where people have to choose different players.
Do you guys technically try. Okay, cool. So, but like, we're not going to force this. There's only one answer here.
All right. I was going to say Nick Romano to be kind of a, you know, because he had a great game too on the ground. But, you know, I think Anthony Woods is the clear-cut, you know, guy. He had 24 carries, matches a career high in yards, career high in touchdowns. You know, it doesn't get better than that. And Nick Romano too. I love seeing that kid. You know, I say kid, he's the same age as me, but I love seeing him, you know, play well, especially being just like a true Idaho kid. That's awesome.
Yeah, the Romano renaissance is real, but look, Anthony Woods, 5 touchdowns, 1 off tying the Idaho record of rushing touchdowns in a game. Broke out for his longest rush was 60 yards. Man, Anthony Woods, you said it. I default to saying look like all Big Sky level because that's what I mostly care about in FCS, but you're right. Like today, Anthony Woods looked like an All-American. Idaho's line kicked ass, but Anthony Woods had some cutbacks that absolutely murdered Eastern Washington.
I got a feature on him too that you can check out on LewistonTribune.com. I wrote right before this game, so the reason he had a big game was obviously because I wrote the feature on him.
Well, it's the tree bump, I mean, look, you, I remember when you got talked about Idaho being on the right track. They responded in basketball season immediately with never mind. Okay, defensive player of the game.
I think they beat Montana State actually, like a couple days after I
Jesus Christ.
Put that article out. Anyway, go ahead.
That's our hashtag Mountaineer Minute. Moving on.
Defensive
player of the game.
Defensive player of the game. You know, I'll go Jackson Eck. Like you said, I think when he came in, I think he made an instant impact. And we were talking about it again beforehand. I think he may have made the tackle on the fourth down stop. I'm going to have to go back and look, but I think he made that stop. And if he did, then, you know, another notch in his belt.
So I'm going to go Tommy McCormick. I should have had Tommy McCormick as my player of the game last week. So that's part of why this pick's there. But hey, Tommy McCormick leads the team with seven tackles. We already brought up that secondary was, to the extent they were tested, the secondary was quite effective. Also, Tommy McCormick had some of his hits look pretty damn good. He's effective in helping in the run game as well. I think it's safe to say that whoever would be player of the game would have been more based off second half effort. But I'm fine going Tommy McCormick because he's a kick-ass player. Made some big plays in this game, but what you brought up about Jackson Eck, maybe lump in X-ray there too for second half contributions. Matthias Bertram was a lot better in the second half than he was in the first half, but it's this game where Idaho was not impressive defensively for a majority of the game. A little bit harder to pick your defensive MVP based off this, but look, Eastern's a good scoring team, and Idaho, in spite of having some rough patches, this is the classic. They did what they needed to do and were still up in a game where some facets Idaho did not look anywhere near as good as they have for some of the other games this season. Idaho was still up 16 late.
Yep.
So as we're talking about what went well, what did not go well, please keep that in mind. We're not missing the overall subtext here. Idaho's allowed defensive groups are going any position group on any team, good team or bad team, they're going to have some games that are better than others. And for Idaho to pick up a road win against a good team where defensively, you know, in practice, Orich is not going to say this is the best they've ever done. It's great to have Idaho be in that kind of place. Before we get to broader takeaways, man, got to talk about Tap the Keg. It's going to be October 13th. That's Friday, the day before homecoming against Montana. Tap the Kegs. It's at the Dan O'Brien Track and Field Complex. Starts at 3:30, ends at 7:30 p.m. Early, you guys are already late on early pricing, so get your tickets now. You're not going to want to miss it. It's a brew fest that is Oktoberfest inspired, so we have a ton of local regional beers, ciders, and seltzers, Oktoberfest inspired food vendors, live music. It was a fantastic event last year. It's going to kick ass again this year. Homecoming is just going to be wild, guys. So make sure to get there. If you're there Friday, you better go to Tap the Keg. Trebe, any other takeaways? This is me kind of handing you the wheel for what you saw this week from Idaho football.
Let's see. Broader takeaways right now off the dome. You know, not too much that we haven't really already covered. You know, I think Idaho moves up in the poll again. I think that's one thing that.
Well, North Dakota State and William and Mary both lost.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So they're going to, that's crazy. You know, Idaho, they're playing like it, dude. That's the biggest thing. They're playing like a top three team right now. And they're going to be ranked there. And that's, you know, Idaho football is on the right track, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. So I want to hit one thing that I probably should have brought up and did not go well. Idaho just needs to – they just got to get better at forcing turnovers defensively.
Oh, yeah, good call.
And it's – when I say that, again, not trying to nitpick a big road win, but look, I'm talking about Idaho's ceiling. They're going to be like the number three or four team in the nation in the next set of polls. At this rate, October 28th against Montana State is going to be the unofficial Big Sky Conference championship when the Bobcats come to Moscow. If both teams hold serve like they have – more or less been effortlessly doing throughout the start of the Big Sky season. So for Idaho against Eastern, they can get away without forcing a turnover and losing the overall turnover battle. Against Sacramento State, at home, Idaho is able to get away with it. On the road, don't know if they would have. I'm fine saying this right now. Idaho is probably not going to beat Montana State if they're not on the positive end of the turnover differential.
That's the biggest thing. You know, that's the biggest thing. And the penalties. Sorry, Brian.
Yeah. Well, the thing I was just going to bring up, and maybe I bring this up too much. Turnovers are a kind of forced turnovers are always a variable stat year to year. Cause like there is some dimension of luck. So did your DB come down with the pick or not? Did the fumble bounce your way or not? Idaho to the their ability to control turnovers, they just haven't capitalized when they've had some chances. You know that's going to change because Idaho has a ton of all Big Sky level talents in the secondary, but we're 5 weeks into an 11 game season. We're 5 weeks into an 11 game season, 2 weeks into two games into an 8-game conference schedule. We're pretty deep into the season for this to be something that's still going on. So maybe Idaho's saving all these forced turnovers for Montana State, in which case, okay, well, maybe that's fine. Maybe that'll work. But for the ceiling of this football team looks like it's pretty damn high. Right now, the ceiling looks like a worst-case scenario should be final 8 of the FCS playoffs. Idaho's playing for seeding. Idaho's in the driver's seat for a bye in the first round. Like, you look at the four wins Idaho has, three of them are good on paper in terms of what the playoff committee will likely be evaluating. Most good teams don't even have two good wins anyway, and Idaho already has three. The Vandals have the chance to pick up a couple more, provided Weber State gets their shit together, and we have the, depending on how you choose to understand Montana and Montana State, obviously would be a good one if Idaho can pick it up. But for this team, which feels in some ways like it can be special, Trevin, look, it's special compared to lots of Idaho teams last decade, but I mean special in the sense that this is the team, like, they kick ass offensively. They do a lot well defensively. This is the type of team that virtually no one matches up with well in the nation. For them to hit whatever their ceiling is, I just think turnovers are going to have to get better.
Yeah, that's you know, you hit the nail right on the head with everything you just said. I mean, that's the biggest thing. And the thing is, right now, Idaho is lucky and they're fortunate enough because they are talented enough that they could kind of get by with not having the turnovers. And that's crazy, you know, that a team is like that. Because I think after today and they didn't get another turnover, they should – I think they're plus 5 now or minus 5 in the turnover differential. So That's crazy.
So we have Patty Firk's comment section saying, I think Idaho's secondary is forcing less turnovers because they're allowing way less open receivers. There's been nowhere to go with the ball. Like, hey, partially true, but there were about 5 passes they could have picked off against Sacramento State. There have been others where that's when I'm bringing up the luck portion, which I don't think any coach talks about this because they're more concerned with their players like owning each play. But just year to year, luck absolutely does factor into who collects how many turnovers. And when Idaho's had the chance, they just haven't capitalized this year. And I feel like you have to believe that's going to change at some point. But look, even in the presser last week, Eck was talking about Idaho needs to start forcing more turnovers. And like, I don't want to completely write off stopping Eastern on fourth down. That's a turnover. It doesn't show up as a turnover, but that's absolutely a turnover. That absolutely mattered. Idaho has picked up turnovers like in that sense. But as far as like turnovers that seem like they kind of come out of nowhere and just annihilate the momentum of the team that turned the ball over, Idaho has not been able to do that yet. I want to shift from there. I want to talk about the offensive line for a minute, which we already said was kick-ass in this game. I feel like it's pretty clear this offensive line is getting better week by week.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the offensive line today looked incomparably better than what we saw against Lamar.
Way better.
Yeah, not remotely close. And Eastern is a much better defensive team than Lamar. Their Eastern's relative strength is not stopping the run, of course. But on the ground specifically, the line is getting better and better each week. You're getting more and more comfortable with Idaho's ability to control the game on the ground. And that starts, look, Anthony Wood, we've already hit Anthony Wood looking All-American level. That matters. But he has to have some place to go to show that All-American talent. And I just cannot stress how much better the line looks against the run. Although to hit that ceiling, like we're talking about, I still think pass protection, you know, when we're talking about teams like Montana State, we're talking about teams that Idaho will see in the playoffs. I still think pass protection is an area the line needs to grow.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. And they've been bailed out a couple times just because of how good Giovanni is at, you know, making plays as an improviser. And, you know, you hit it. Idaho's offensive line has looked incredibly better from where they're at to Lamar to where they're at today. Especially just opening up holes in general. I mean, you looked at that Lamar game, and obviously Anthony Woods came out of it with a pretty good yardage total because of the 93-yard run. But, you know, you look at that game as a whole, he didn't really have any rushing lanes to go through. This game, he had tons, and then you see the results. It was awesome. It was awesome to see.
Yeah, we got a few other things. Hey, Crewhead 76 in the comment section says need to produce more sacks also. This game was hard to gauge sacks because of the rushing approach, but I don't disagree with the basic point of for the first three quarters, Idaho was not really getting any push. Or they were not really getting pressure on Jared Taylor, whether it was on his pass plays or like some of the, because of misdirection, some of his rushes were a little bit delayed relative, like, you know, just an immediate handoff. And Idaho's line was not making Eastern pay for the time misdirection cost for Jared Taylor, especially for the first like three quarters of the game. Patty Firk saying pass protection was still sketchy. Crewhead 76, O-line was dominant. There are a few series early that the coaches got too pass happy instead of mixing up run pass. Your Crewhead, I also think that early on, Idaho thought they could just abuse Eastern in the secondary and then settled in with, well, we'll just kill them on the ground. That maybe it's where we should have started, but whatever. Other thing that I think is just a balancing act that Idaho has to do is Anthony Woods is very good. We know the guys with the roster's full of team players, but Hayden Hatton needs to get the ball some, and he gets the ball via pass. Jermaine Jackson needs to get the ball. He mostly gets the ball via pass. Therese Traynor needs to get the ball a time or two. There's some guys on the team to keep them engaged. They're going to need throws their way. That's just how it works. And I want to hit your point on Giovanni. This is just why I've been kind of I've been trying to stress pass protection, is that Giovanni McCoy has just routinely made something out of nothing in lots of games this season. Yeah. This was the first week that we saw where under duress, look, higher degree of difficulty plays, they sometimes just aren't executed. Sometimes like under duress, Giovanni knows where he's going to go and the ball is just off a little bit like that. That's why Idaho for Idaho to reach whatever their ceiling is, pass protection needs to get a bit better. I think like we're almost halfway through the season, so I think kind of the jury's in. Idaho's just going to be better at blocking for the run game than the pass game. I don't think that script is going to flip by any means. I think Idaho just needs to get, I don't know, like 10-15% better at buying Giovanni time. And then look, we can trust he'll make something out of nothing, but we don't want to rely on that much against a team like Montana State, because like that's what we care about with this team. But
I was gonna say with the old line too, it's really only when they bring extra people, it seems, you know, they're fine holding their own against, you know, a four-man front, you know, or maybe if they bring one extra guy. But you know, if they bring something that's a little too exotic for them, or they're crisscrossing, it seems like their biggest thing is blitz pickup, right? Like if they're doing, you know, some stunts along the front, or they're bringing some linebackers, like that's the biggest thing. And it looks more like a communication thing, or just, you know, struggling to know what they're supposed to do is the biggest thing, I think.
100% with you. Now I want to ask, we're going to close the show relatively quick. Before I ask you some closing questions, I have to hear, we have one new sponsor to hit, guys, and this is very, very new. We haven't made it a secret. Like, guys, we work closely with with Colby Peterson. He's the guy who runs Walk On Apparel. Walk On has made some absolutely kick-ass Vandal stuff. And I got to tell you, man, Colby Peterson, this is right from, I'm reading the text he sent me because he wants to partner with Tubbs at the club, because Tubbs has been kick-ass about buying Walk On stuff. There's a Tubbs coupon now. at walk on. It's capital T-U-B-S, Tubbs. Get your 15% off at walk on. So look, here's the thing about walk on. They're officially licensed. So when you support walk on, some of that money is going back to the University of Idaho Athletic Department. Second, walk on has kick-ass designs you will not see anywhere else. Most recent one, which if Martin were here, he'd be on screen. You'll see it on screen Tuesday. The it's a Joe Vandal Schoolhouse Rock, Idaho, I-D-A-H-O, Idaho, Idaho, go, go, go logo. But anyway, there's go to Walk On Apparel's website. There's a ton. He has five or six Vandal shirts, man, and they've all been released this year. Walk On supporting Vandals because Vandals support Walk On, buy their stuff. So guys, if you keep buying Walk On stuff, we're going to keep getting more Idaho stuff. That's why Walk On has a special code for Tubbs listeners, T-U-B-S, type it in at checkout, all capitals, get you 15% off your order. So last couple questions, Trevin.
Yep.
So look, not trying to step on this week's toes, but I don't think anyone's anxious about Idaho Cal Poly right now. You've been covering Idaho 2 years now, correct?
Yeah, this is my second year. Yeah.
Okay. We're closing in on midterms, as in Idaho's played five games of an 11-game schedule. This coming week is the exact midpoint. So let's pretend the Eastern game was Idaho's midterm.
Yeah.
What grade would you be giving this Idaho team overall?
I'd give them an A-. You know, I think they're firing on all cylinders, and the only reason that, you know, I'm not going to give them an A+ or like 100%, you know, is it's because there are areas they need to get better at, but they are playing like a top three team in the country right now.
Yeah, so hey, Kevin Reidenauer saying Idaho pulled out the win in the tussle. Sorry, Brian. I'm not trying to shy away from this. It's just that when I first read the name Kevin Reidenauer suggested, it threw me off. Or Kevin Reidenauer, forgive me. I know I always get the I thing screwed up in your name, Kevin. Forgive me. Kevin suggested the game being the tussle on the tampon.
That's pretty good.
Hey, whatever you want to call it.
It's better than the Cheese Cow Cup or whatever.
Why would you say you cover Idaho? You know it's not Scow. You know the town's Moscow. It's Cheese Cow. Yeah. But like you're not wrong. And you need something else. Although I do
The name in itself is stupid. So you know, I don't really give it like that much respect when I pronounce it in general. So I apologize with the mispronunciation of that.
Yeah. Martin in the comments section is saying kick Trevin. Okay.
I don't pronounce Moscow that, but
well, hey, we know a 45-year-old special teams player from Sac State will help out with that. We have Dane Moon saying it's going to be a bye for Idaho. And hey, I'll just hit the midterm thing for like 1 second. It's somewhere between A and A-.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's stuff to improve, but we're overall nitpicking. Idaho and Montana State look like they are clearly the top two in the Big Sky. And it looks like there's a little bit of a gap between whoever's number three. Because hey, Idaho just beat the best contenders. For whoever would be number three, beat Sacramento State in a game that Idaho, I really think if we replayed that game, Idaho wins by multiple scores. And then this game on the road, Idaho picks up a win. If you're an Eastern fan, you're probably saying, hey, well, if Vesperis played, it'd be different. Yeah, well, if Vesperis played, there wouldn't have been the confusion that Idaho's defense had, that took Idaho a while to kind of work out. I honestly think – now, I think if – Idaho were to play this game again, like in the playoffs somehow, and it was run heavy, I don't think it's going to be close like it was for, you know, three quarters of this game now that Idaho has that figured out. But I don't know if Vesperis would have been better overall for this game based off how much changed up the offense, threw things off for Idaho.
Thank you. But
yeah, dude. So we have the power rankings episode, meaning I have the Big Sky Conference power ranking episode coming out tomorrow. We'll probably record that at about 1 p.m. Trevin, throwing the wheel back to you. Anything you want to hit on before we call it a night?
No, I think the only thing I'll say is Montana State and Idaho are the top two teams in the Big Sky, and it's crazy because they're two of the top three teams in the country. So that game in Moscow – not Moscow.
Back on the right track, dude.
Thank you. Grew up in Lewiston my whole life. I promise. I know. But, you know, that game's going to be a huge one for Idaho. And if there's a game to sell out the dome, guys, it should be that one. I know Montana's going to be a big one because it's on TV. It's homecoming, you know, and things like that. But, you know, for the implications, I think that one. that one's hey,
the one. Glad you brought that up because I want to reference Idaho's presence in Cheney. Pretty good on the ground. The end zone section. Now, if you guys aren't familiar with it, Roos Field is a half of a field. It has a nice grandstand. It has a full section behind one of the end zones. Then opposite the grandstand or like Moscow High School style bleachers. And then the other end zone, when ticket sales are good, you have bleachers of death that look like they were made back in 1911 or whenever, whenever Eastern first started as a college, they roll those bleachers out. Hey, budget cuts, everyone's facing, right? You can only buy so much. But Idaho's ticket allotment, I think it defaulted to the back of the end zone. Idaho had, of all the seats in the back of the end zone, those are probably about one third all Idaho, all blocked off together. And there's a section in the high school section of tickets that was pretty steadily Idaho. I saw this the sweet sign that looked like a student had. It just said cry. Like two different students just in the Idaho section just had this big, just had these big signs that just said cry. That was it. But Idaho attendance, I thought was pretty solid. I mean, overall, the game was at 8,300. Right around 95-ish% capacity for Roos. So solid footprint from the Idaho faithful. Buy your tickets, man. This is a special team. This is a team that, again, I got to scroll up through the comment section. It was Dane Moon who said he thinks Idaho's going to have a bye for the playoffs. Well, I think this team should have a bye. I think on paper there is one loss left for Idaho this season after making it through Eastern. Obviously, the games have to be played, and once first kickoff commences, you know, everything can change. But on paper, Idaho looks like that they have at max one loss left on the year. So show up for this team, man. We in this era of college sports where rosters can, it took Idaho 2 years, not even 2 years. This is Jason Eck's second year to go from with, Petrino, essentially a freaking laughing stock to nationally elite. Things can vaporize too, guys. Some of these coaches eventually are going to get some pretty damn good paydays going to other schools if they're going to keep kicking ass like they are in Idaho. So enjoy it right now, guys. If this turns into a legacy, the legacy is being built before your eyes come out and watch.
So it's with that Trebe effect.
Exactly. It's a Trebe effect, but buy your tickets, man. Pack the dome. You have three home games left to come and watch the Vandals. There's a handful of road games, but most of them are a little more of a jaunt, you might say, to get to from this point on. Buy your tickets, fill the dome. With that, I'm going to call it a night. I'm going to see you guys in not too long for our still 32 live listeners. Thanks for tuning in. And also, hey, to everyone who I saw in Cheney, again, it's fun as hell to meet listeners that I don't know before and talk Vandal football. So if any of you guys see us in public, please, please don't hesitate. It's fun. It's this to me, like honestly, one of the most fun parts doing the show now is when I go to games, people are like, hey, Brian Tubbs, the club. And then I get to talk Vandal football with anyone, which I'm always game to do. So with that, going to call tonight. I'm going to buy myself a few seconds to scroll through the back half of our page. I don't know where the hell anything is. And with that, we are going to call today. Go Vandals.
Adios.
This is producer Brian doing a terrible job of even finding what we're going to play us out with. So we're just going to call it good. See you guys Tuesday. Motherfucker.